Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, John Dugan's going to be here to talk about his new oral history. He's put together a book on the empty bottle. It'll be fun to talk to him about 21-plus years, the empty bottle. Also, live music from the band Kodiak. And then coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Write Club Radio. Two writers enter, one writer leaves. That's the idea. And you be the judge. 312-981-7200. And if you... And the winner of that will get prizes. I got so many prizes to give away. I got to give more prizes away. So many things we have here. Pete and I want to get rid of all the prizes before the end of the week. So tonight's a big night for prizes. Like a VIP party at the Garfield Park Conservatory for the beginning of Craft Beer Week. That's awesome. That's coming up right here next week. So all that coming up on The Download. But right now, my guest tonight at the big table is a Chicago-born artist, Carlos Roland, also known as Design, has worked in several mediums, from paintings to sculptures to exhibits about boxing to a touring show on custom nails. Design is one of the best contemporary artists working today. He's got a gallery in Manhattan. He's won several awards and prizes. He's published several books, and his work tours the world. Not bad from a kid from the southwest side of Chicago. He's back in town this week for a new show at the Chicago Cultural Center called I Tell You This Sincerely. It's his first solo show in Chicago in over 12 years, and it's running through July 9th. He's also doing a panel on Saturday at the Lake Effect Summit and Expo talking about the role of Latino artists in the contemporary art world. Design, Carlos, welcome to The Download.
Hey.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah.
Long time.
All right, so talk about this exhibit, the first solo show in Chicago in 12 years.
12 years. I've had several discussions and offers to do commercial exhibitions here in Chicago.
Right.
And it was really important for me that my first show after some time be at an institution.
So what does that mean, commercial stuff, like going to the MCA kind of stuff? What's considered commercial?
Commercial gallery where they sell your work, where you go to the gallery, hang stuff up on the wall. Sell your work.
I got it. Okay.
And you know, the whole idea is to put your work up, and it's a commodity to sell your work.
Right.
And for me, I really made it a point that I held on to. I actually created a body of work that I showed in New York that I decided to kind of keep together, and I actually had it in my studio created for 2 years. Basically waiting for this moment to happen and to create a new body of work. But it was important for me that it was about the work and it wasn't about the commodity.
Really?
Yeah. That was something that was very important to me.
How do you put together, as an artist, and I always wonder this, how do you know that this is the right body of work? When you say you've been working on something for 2 years and sure. These pieces came together and you wanted to keep them together, what is it about this work that's at the Cultural Center that started this week that ties them together?
You know, I've been really fortunate and very blessed. I've been living off of my work at a very young age. I was about maybe like 22 and I kind of got my feet wet, but I think maybe possibly at about the age of, you know, my early 30s is when I really started kind of digging deep and really thinking about how I wanted to make the work and what was important to me and making the work very personal mm-hmm. and making something that I was very proud of. And not to say that I'm not proud of the previous work, but this is something that, you know, for me, it's important to make work that feels very honest, and it feels very personal. And it's great because, you know, when it can cross cultural boundaries mm-hmm. and it can cross into pop culture, it's a really tough thing to do. But the work has been able to do that, so that's really important for me. And so I can tell you, you know, with transparency, that this is probably the most mature body of work that I've produced. And I think that, you know, there's not many artists in Chicago that, you know, that do a lot of work internationally or nationally. You know, you have people like Theaster Gates and, you know, even Kerry James Marshall, mm-hmm. who's showing at the MCA,
right.
You know, who's probably, for me, hands down, one of the best painters right now in the world. And but again, these are people that, you know, we've been doing our program, we've been doing our same program for a long time, for a very, very long time, and we stick to the same program. And you don't kind of, you know, once you deviate from that, that's when things can kind of get a little sticky, where, you know, there are people who are just interested in just kind of getting their Warhol machine on.
In the art world.
In the art world, yes, correct, yes. And for me, it's important for me to make work that I feel has substance, has a story, has longevity, and, you know, has something to say, and it's very personal.
That's so interesting, because when I think of contemporary artists, I mean, there's a potential to score. I mean, you do a piece that people like, and they're like, I'll put thousands on this thing. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity when you're at the level that you're at, and the people that you mentioned, to work towards a commercial audience, to work towards just galleries and say, you know what, this is my cash cow. I'm going to feed my family forever.
There's things that I've hit on that I could have literally made, you know, dozens of the same pieces and sell them.
Like you saw someone just being like, I want that kind of art, or you saw like a fervor for it and you knew, oh man, I could mass produce this.
I can mass produce it and I can sell a lot of it. But then, you know, I mean, you know, for me, slow and steady wins the race. And, you know, I've been offered, you know, exhibitions at some of the biggest galleries in the world, and I've walked away from them just because I knew that if I did do a show with them, basically the prices could either double or triple, and I could make a lot of money. And within a matter of 2 years, you know, once the gallery can't sell any more work, you know, you're kind of put to the wayside.
Really?
It can be a very incestuous and a very tough business to be in. The art world, and again, I can say this with transparency, that the art world is probably one of the most unregulated. It's probably one of the last unregulated businesses in the world.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I have such a curiosity about the work that you do. I mean, it's such personal, and like I said, I don't throw it around. I mean, you're one of the greatest artists to come out of Chicago to work in contemporary art. I mean, the stuff that you do, not just with your paintings, but the sculpture work, even the boxing stuff. I mean, it's just really opulent. And I'm trying to think of the right. It's hard when, you know, to actually recall the right adjectives for your work. But I also am interested in how you, a kid from the southwest side of Chicago, deal with the world that is contemporary art, because it the higher you go, there's got to be trappings,
you know,
everywhere.
I grew up in Brighton Park in Chicago, and I have to say that, you know, I don't know what it is, and I'm sure every kid probably says this about where they grew up at in a certain block, but, you know, there's a few things that are really important to me. Brighton Park was a very special place for me in the 70s and the 80s. It was a place that was truly a melting pot. We were probably one of two Puerto Rican families that lived in the neighborhood. There was a couple of, you know, families with Arabic backgrounds, you know, some Eastern European, you know, they would have Polish mass at 8 and then they would have English mass at 11 at the local church, you know, so it was truly a melting pot. And I grew up in this beautiful environment. And don't get me wrong. It was, you know, as I got older, the neighborhood started getting a little bit rougher. And, you know, so, you know, here was this young kid, you know, thinking, okay, you know, which, you know, do I take a left or do I take a right?
Right.
And for me, one of the things that was really difficult for me that I learned over the years is that a lot of artists who studied in Chicago, like Jeff Koons, Claus Oldenburg, you know, the list can go on and on, you know, it can go on and on. They leave Chicago. They study here, they learn here, they get educated here, and then they leave.
Right.
I love being known as an artist from Chicago. That's very important to me.
Well, let's
thinking about somebody like Ed Paschke.
Yeah.
I can tell you a great story of me just, you know, again, my parents never took me to museums. They never took me to galleries. They didn't know anything about museums.
Well, I want to get to that. I want to get to your how I want to find at the point when, you know, you really sort of got into art and how you did that. Let's take a quick break and we'll continue the conversations with Carlos Rolland, who's also known as Design. We're talking contemporary art in Chicago. There's a new solo exhibit at the Cultural Center called I Tell You This Sincerely. It's Carlos's first solo show in Chicago in over 12 years. It's running through July 9th. We'll continue the conversation right after the break.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. My guest at the big table tonight, Carlos Rolland, Design, one of the best contemporary artists in the world, who is at the Cultural Center right now. I Tell You This Sincerely is his solo show, the first one in over 12 years. Carlos grew up here in the southwest side of Chicago, Brighton Park. You know, listening to those stories, I mean, I want to know a little bit more about how you found your way to the art world. You went to Columbia College, but even before that, you know, as you mentioned in the last segment, just about, you know, some kids going left and some kids going right. What kept you on the path to be an artist and not something else?
Well, you know, I come from a very blue collar family, so I had to discover the art world on my own. And one of the things that, you know, I have to say that really kind of opened up my eyes to kind of a broader audience was being part of, you know, early hip hop culture in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And this was, you know, this is when, you know, and when you think of hip hop culture, it's about, you know, it's about the influence of music, and you have, you know, these five elements that, you know, people would consider what they consider hip hop culture. But I was part of the group that stayed, you know, and was interested in doing graffiti and, you know, the idea of painting your name and painting on the street, mm-hmm. and working on the street, you know, kind of the same way, you know, the same way Keith Haring and Jean-Michel Basquiat, which, by the way, you know, if you look at the news, you know, Jean-Michel Basquiat, who literally started off as a graffiti artist, just literally broke the world's record for one of the highest paintings sold in the world.
It's amazing to think about.
I mean, $56.5 million.
So that's really was your introduction to art, was graffiti art.
It was. You know, I saw a document, you know, I was watching PBS and I saw a documentary called Style Wars, and it was about the idea of, you know, these young kids painting and doing stencil work, but painting on trains. And I was very interested. The idea of, it wasn't so much about the work itself. It was about the idea of them going out and wanting to have an identity and wanting to make sure that they had an identity and that the world knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
I found that very interesting.
Isn't that, at the end of the day, why graffiti artists write their name big on the side of bridges or on the side of trains? Because
of
they do want an identity.
They want people to see
their name.
Yeah, they want to see their name. They want to see themselves known. And, you know, and for me, that was something that was, an important part of my youth. And, you know, but also, you know, at the same time, you know, you had, we were listening to HBK radio, college radio stations, you know, JP Chill was playing reggae and hip hop music before it was even on the radio and before it was commercialized. So, you know, the some of the people that I grew up doing, you know, some of the street work with, you know, they went on to be, you know, famous fashion designers. One of them, you know, developed the game Mortal Kombat. You know, we all kind of went off on our different things. I decided to be a fine artist and to
what I love about that is that, you know, there's so much. I mean, when people think of graffiti or graffiti art, they think of maybe troubled gangs. But there are so many artists that came from that being their only outlet.
Sure.
That are making contributions to the art worlds and the game worlds and all the kind of worlds now that we don't even think about their background.
You know, you have to understand, like, you know, at that time, you know, it was a very kind of innocent age as well. And, you know, for me, but again, you know, it wasn't so much about the idea of, you know, of the act of doing graffiti. That actually turned me on to the idea of what was happening in New York, which was the disco and the punk movement. And then you had, you know, people like John Fechner who, you know, did stencil work in Harlem. And then you have, you know, then you had people like, you know, young, aggressive African-American artists like David Hammonds, mm-hmm. you know, that was doing performance work, you know, in the Bronx selling snowballs. And, you know, again, David Hammonds is one of the, you know, he's probably one of the most successful African-American artists that's living today.
Right.
You know, but again, like they came out of that culture.
They're not necessarily coming out of, I mean, they have schooling, but they're not coming out of school, meaning that that's a correct. Lot of the artists that are, like you just mentioned, I mean, they're getting a high top dollar for the paintings that are ruling the contemporary art world.
Sure.
They're not necessarily going to art school.
I mean, if you think of some of the, if you look at some of the wealthiest people in the world, and some of the most successful people in the world, a lot of them either, some of them actually dropped out of high school, never finished high school. They taught them, you know, they started companies at the age of 17 right. and 18 years old.
In their garage, making computers.
You know, and again, so, you know, but then there's just contradiction in the art world where, you know, it's at one point, you know, if you didn't have, you know, some kind of art degree, you know, maybe your work wasn't taken as serious. I think that's definitely changed now.
I want to ask you about, we'll take a break for the news here. But I think is a great pick launching point to talk about acceptance, because a lot of the hip hop artists and contemporary artists of today, you know, at some point or not had to break down barriers, because contemporary art did put up walls saying these are trained artists and, you know, well, you did graffiti art. Yeah. So why you can't come in our club.
You know, listen, I had a conversation with the Astor Gates. And one of the things that I think is really important, we talked about the word hope. That's a big word. So if we can talk about that
Talk about hope. I love it. My guest tonight, Carlos Roland, he has a design. He's got a new exhibit, a solo exhibit at the Cultural Center called I Tell You This Sincerely. It's running through July 9th. It's up now. He's also doing a panel on Saturday at the Lake Effects Summit and Expo talking about the role of Latino artists in the contemporary art world. Carlos will continue our conversation right after the break in the news here on The Download. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Carlos Roland, design, one of the great contemporary artists. He's got a exhibit at the Chicago Cultural Center called I Tell You This Sincerely. It's his first solo show in Chicago in over 12 years. It's actually going to be a party for it. After the panel discussion, the Lake Effect Summit and Expo panel discussion on the role of Latino artists in contemporary art on Saturday. Afterwards, there's going to be an opening party.
That's why
you go to shows, right?
That's why I make the work. That's why you come for the free food and for the free drinks. That's why people come to art openings. Right.
All right, so we were talking about how you grew up and getting into the contemporary art world and how a lot of hip hop artists have found their way, you know, from just doing graffiti art or maybe doing some stuff that is in just the hip hop culture to a bigger audience, to the contemporary art world, to being on display in some of the great galleries in New York City or down in Miami at Basel or wherever it is. It's become like the kind of art that almost runs contemporary art. How, when you made that jump, when you made the jump to where, you know, people are taking your art seriously and you're starting to get representation, when you're starting to find your way into galleries, how was it for you being accepted in the contemporary art world?
Well, I mean, I think I really truly took control of my work and how I wanted myself represented, and I didn't leave it into the hands of, you know, certain galleries. And what was important for me was that, you know, even though I was influenced early on in my career, maybe by a certain culture, you know, that was something that was a stepping stone for me. And, you know, eventually I decided, you know, I want to be known as just an artist, not a Latino artist, you know, not an artist who does craft-based work or does, you know, people know me for customizing, you know, bicycle sculptures and,
right.
And I did the Venice Biennale, which is like the Oscars of the art world, where I customized, you know, an 18-foot boat, and we shipped it to Venice, and it was in the canals in Venice, where it had, you know, 10 subwoofers, 20 speakers, 10 TV screens, a smoke machine, a DJ, you know, but it was bringing that culture that spoke to me personally, that I could understand, mm-hmm. and bringing that to the art world, bringing that to the forefront. So, you know, it's not for me, the way that it happened was I took control of my identity and how I wanted my work to be perceived. And I've been really protective of that. And so for me, even you hear it, hear you saying like, well, you know, these people who come out of like a certain culture or hip hop culture, mm-hmm. and, you know, they go on to like, you know, do certain things, you know, in the world. I don't really see myself that way. And I haven't seen myself that way for a very, very long time.
You've done a lot to push back on stereotypes. You know, I mean, and I'm sure that'll be a big part of your panel discussion on Saturday.
Correct.
But I mean, that has been a part of your who you are, your identity, your existence, your art. There, it's even written, the idea that, yes. you don't want to be pigeonholed, you don't want to be stereotyped as a Latino artist, a hip hop artist, an art, you know, any sort of, you know, one kind of genre, sure. because you feel like you work in all.
But listen, I mean, you know, I mean, the reality is that, you know, I mean, you know, I still love. You know, I love bringing the idea of something that makes people feel uncomfortable. You know, the idea of a car pulling up to a red light and you hear the subwoofers that are so loud in the car and they make you shake and they kind of make your skin kind of tremble. You know, I love that. I want to bring that into the institution.
You want to bring that.
I want to bring that energy into the institution. Yeah. So for me, if it makes them feel uncomfortable, that's okay, because it's going to allow them to talk. And, you know, the reality is that a lot of people in the art world, you know, they love to kind of live vicariously through artists. You know, they love to, you know, they love the idea of like the crazy artist. So they love the idea of the artist that, you know, is bringing a certain culture, you know. In the past several years, there's been a lot of African American artists and about the idea of being a black artist to the forefront, you know. And what's funny is that, you know, they love looking at these paintings by Kerry James Marshall. They love, you know, they love, you know, they love, you know, they love the idea of what, you know, what certain African artists are doing, like David Hammons, where, you know, again, he's doing these projects in Harlem, and they, you know, they love the idea of the aggressiveness of it. And, but what's funny is that they would never visit Harlem. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't visit these parts of Chicago, but they like looking at it. They, you know,
it's an entry place,
they love going to the institution. They like feeling safe.
For you, I'm interested, and I've been trying to get into a mind of an artist who works in this form. I mean, works in different mediums. You have done everything from sculpture work, where you put a huge car in the middle of the exhibit, or like, sure. you talked about the boat. You know, for you, how much of your work is an idea versus the skill to actually be able to paint that? You know, for you, because sure. you have that skill,
sure.
but as you just mentioned, that subwoofer that's next to you makes the person who's in the car, and you feel that in your car, it makes them feel uncomfortable. That's a feeling that you're trying to express,
correct.
And you're finding a medium to express that.
I mean, you know, in my new exhibition, I just started doing a new series of tropical floral paintings, again, that have nothing to do with subwoofers or have anything to do with cars, but it's the idea of, you know, my parents coming from Puerto Rico and the diaspora of being Puerto Rican, and, you know, and also the idea of people learning about what it's like to grow up being Puerto Rican and living in the U.S. and living in Chicago. You know, my mother had a bootleg, you know, hair salon and a nail salon in our home when I was growing up, in order to supplement extra income. And she worked at Jewel, and she retired from Jewel. And there's nothing wrong with that. She was a very hardworking person. And this is a woman that, you know, had to work very hard to feed her kids. My father wanted to be a salsa musician, and he was at some point, and he ended up working in a factory. But, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. But, there are dreams that were deferred. And if you go to my exhibition, you'll see that a lot of the work kind of deals with that subject matter. And, so what I did at the MCA here in Chicago, the Museum of Contemporary Art, is I did an exhibition that Naomi Beckwith curated called Homebodies. And what I did is I recreated my living room exactly from 1976. And people came and got their nails done for free every Saturday and Sunday
last
at
night,
the museum.
We had an author on last night, and he was a writer, television writer. And he threw a concept out where he said, anyone who ever asked me, how do I get into TV, how do I get into writing? Well, you got to live your life. And you got to do something that's not writing so that you have experiences to actually recall.
Sure.
Because if you don't have that, then it's not authentic. So he was talking, he was a federal prosecutor he writes on The Practice and Boston Legal and those kind of shows because he was able to recall real experiences from his life. As an artist, is it the similar concept that, you recall a lot of your art and what you're talking about, these pieces, they come from your experiences.
It deals with memory. A lot of it deals with memory, and it deals with, some of it deals with things that I can't get back again. After today's gone. It's finished. It's done. It's over with. I won't have another day with, I'll have another day tomorrow with my my son and my daughter and my wife and my family tomorrow, but it's gone today. Maybe there was something I didn't take advantage of today. Mm-hmm. And I missed out on that. Maybe there's something that I kind of still kind of dwell on. I think about my grandmother quite a bit, and I've done several projects and several pieces based on my grandmother. The idea of when you go to the Culture Center, you're going to see pieces that deal with the idea of boxing as art. And it was a way for me to connect with my father. I'd watch Howard Cosell and ABC Worldwide of Sports on Saturday morning with him in order just to be by him. And I wasn't even a fan of boxing, but now I'm a huge fan of boxing. I go to the prize fights and in Vegas.
You said at the beginning of this piece that you've matured, that this is personal.
Sure.
That this is personal. And when you tell these stories and you start to sort of break that down, that the mosaic piece might be about your mom or the living room piece at the MCA is about how you grew up or your father in boxing, it all kind of comes together.
It totally comes together. But again, it crosses cultural boundaries. As soon as you walk into the exhibition, there is a piece called Bochinche, which means gossip. Which means in Puerto Rico that means that you're a gossiper. So I made these bochincha benches. So these benches you can sit down, and the idea is that you sit down and you gossip about a person. But listen, everybody, if you're Jewish, it doesn't matter what nationality you are. Everyone has a slang term for being a gossiper.
Right.
So people can relate to that. You walk in, there's a floating garden when you walk in that I created out of macrames. And macrames came from the Spanish Moors that went, basically got enslaved by, the Spaniards that came down from the Inquisition. They brought that down to the Caribbean. So I'm linking these ideas together. Which again, when you went to your grandmother's house and you saw a macrame 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you would never look at it as art. But in fact, these are handmade, they're handcrafted.
Right.
So we actually handcrafted about 20 something pieces.
One area that's personal, and I ask this a lot of people who are my guests at the big table here, is about the city you live in. You came up here, you came in Chicago. What role does Chicago play in your work, in your art?
Chicago's very important for me. And again, there was when I was 16, I just remember thinking that, I didn't know if my parents could afford college. I didn't know if I could afford college. And I just kind of thought, what's going to be the best way to kind of get my feet wet in the art world? And again, I had my early influences, but, those influences for me, were a stepping stone into becoming a young adult. And shaping myself. But it's great though, because I still have, that connection. Looking, I've worked with Common And, you know, looking at him and seeing what he's doing, and, you know, he won an Oscar and, right. you know, but, you know, I did the album, you know, I did the artwork for his, you know, for Resurrection, which is a classic album that he made. But those things are great memories, but it doesn't define me of who I am as an artist. You know, I'm a fine artist, and my work is to try to tell a story that people can relate to, that can, again, it's cross-generational.
Yeah.
So if I can get a person who is 9 years old to 6 years old, and they can look at the work and they can talk about it, I've done my job. And to answer your question, Chicago is important for me. I remember calling Ed Paschke, who's one of the legendary Chicago artists. I called him when I was 16, and I said, "Mr. Paschke, you know, I'm a young artist. I'm trying to break into the art world. I'd love to be your assistant. Can I be your assistant?" He's like, "You know, I already have one." And I was like, "Listen, I'll sweep your floors for free. I just want to be near you. I want to feel your energy. I just want to be near you and see how you work and see how you, I want to see how you paint and how you conduct business." And he's just like, "You know, sorry, kid. You know, I just, you know, I have somebody." But what's funny is that, you know, 10 years later, I'm having, you know, he's got a show in Paris, and I'm actually in Paris, you know, for the summer, painting in a studio. You know, here I am, you know, working in Paris, painting, and I see Ed Paschke, and we connect, and we talk about this story of how I called him when I was 16 years old, and, you know, and here we are in another country kind of talking about that. And, you know, for me, the universe works in a certain way, and, you know, what's important is that people, and especially people that are very close to me, you know, I have, you know, a couple of very dear friends that even work for me, you know, that I've known since I was 15 years old, you know, people like, you know, like my wife, that I would ask, you know, questions, about the work, and, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right thing? And there's certain people that I ask certain questions, and even people in the art world that I trust, mm-hmm. my art dealers based in New York, you know, I will talk to them about ideas. And, you know, I have a small circle of people that I really, really trust, and I respect their opinion.
How about your kids? They're getting into art?
My daughter's big into dance. My son is really big into computers. And I do want to give a shout out to Paolo and to Mila, who I think are listening right now. And a shout out to my wife, Casey, who I think is also listening. And, you know, at the end of the day, people always say this, you know, what do you want on your tombstone? You know, what do you want said about you when all said yeah. and done and when it's gone? And for me, you know, I'm very truly passionate, and I'm very serious about my studio practice. But I'm also very serious about being, you know, making the right decisions, you know, as a human being as well.
Carlos Roland, design. He's got an exhibit that's at the Chicago Cultural Center called I Tell You This Sincerely. It's his first solo show in Chicago in over 12 years. It's running through July 9th. He's also doing a panel on Saturday at the Lake Effect Summit and Expo talking about the role of Latino artists in contemporary art. I can't thank you enough for coming in, sharing your stories. Congratulations on all your success.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Not so bad for a kid from the southwest side of Chicago, right?
Brighton Park, baby.
Thanks for being here.
Take care.